Welcome to Chemistry of the Mind, Unlocking the Brain's Secrets. I'm particularly fascinated by the blood-brain area today because it's such a critical yet often overlooked aspect of brain health. It's like a fortress, isn't it?
It really is. It's this incredibly selective filter, a gatekeeper essentially, that shields our brains from harmful substances while allowing in the good stuff. What intrigues me is how this barrier impacts drug delivery. It's a double-edged sword, right? Protecting the brain, but also blocking potential treatments.
Precisely. So how does this intricate barrier actually work? What are its components, and how do they interact to create such a secure system?
Well, the key players are endothelial cells, those lining the blood vessels, packed tightly together, forming tight junctions. These junctions are like the mortar between bricks, sealing the gaps and preventing most molecules from slipping through. Then you have astrocytes and pericytes providing support and further regulation.
So these tight junctions, they're crucial. What about substances that do need to get through, like nutrients? How do they bypass this fortress?
There are specific transport systems like carrier proteins that actively ferry essential nutrients like glucose and amino acids across. It's a highly regulated process, ensuring the brain gets what it needs while keeping out unwanted guests.
Fascinating. So small molecules can sometimes diffuse passively, larger ones need active transport. What about pathogens or larger therapeutic molecules? They're essentially locked out, yeah?
Generally, yes. That's the challenge with treating neurological disorders. Most drugs, especially larger ones like antibodies, simply can't cross the BBB in sufficient quantities to be effective. It's a major roadblock.
So where does that leave us in terms of treatment? If this barrier is so impenetrable, how do we get therapies into the brain?
Well, there are a few strategies being explored. Some researchers are looking at ways to temporarily disrupt the BBB using methods like focused ultrasound. Others are trying to sneak drugs through by attaching them to molecules that can cross, like certain peptides, or even by using the nasal passage as a backdoor.
The nasal passage? That's intriguing. Tell me more about that.
It's a non-invasive approach, leveraging the olfactory and trigeminal nerves as pathways to the brain. But it's still in early stages, and there are limitations like mucociliary clearance and the amount of drug that actually reaches the brain.
I see. It seems there's no easy answer. This blood-brain barrier, it's both a guardian and a gatekeeper, a challenge and an opportunity. And it's clearly a key factor in understanding and treating neurological disorders.
Absolutely. Unlocking the secrets of the BBB and how to effectively cross it is crucial for developing new and more effective treatments for a wide range of brain diseases.
So we were talking about the blood-brain barrier and the challenges it presents for drug delivery. It's like trying to get a package delivered to a high-security building, right? There's so many obstacles.
Exactly. And it's not just getting the package there, it's making sure it gets to the right room in the building. The brain is incredibly complex, and delivering therapies to specific regions is a huge hurdle.
Yeah, the precision required is mind-boggling. We talked about some strategies like focused ultrasound in nasal delivery, but it seems like there's a lot more going on. What about these ligand conjugation approaches?
Ligand conjugation, it's like giving the package a special key card to access specific receptors on the brain's endothelial cells. It's a way to target therapies more effectively, like using transferrin, insulin, or low-density lipoprotein receptors.
So attaching the drug to something that already has access, clever. But how effective is it, really? I mean, there must be limitations, right?
Well, one issue is the receptor detaching. The ligand might bind to the receptor, but then it struggles to separate or gets trapped in endolysosomes. It's like the key card gets stuck in the lock.
Oh, I see. So how do you overcome that? Is there a way to design ligands that detach more easily?
Some researchers are exploring responsive strategies, like using acid-sensitive linkers that break down in the acidic environment of endolysosomes, releasing the drug. It's like designing a key card that dissolves after it unlocks the door.
That's fascinating. It's like a self-destructing key card. What about these other receptors, like insulin receptors? Are they showing promise?
Insulin receptors are interesting because they're highly expressed in various brain regions. Studies have shown that attaching insulin or IGF-1 to nanoparticles can enhance drug delivery, but the bonding affinity and signaling pathways can be complex.
Right, so it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Each receptor has its own quirks and challenges. What about using cell membranes? That sounds like a completely different tactic.
Using cell membranes is like disguising the package as a regular employee so it can slip past security unnoticed. Coating nanoparticles with red blood cell membranes, for example, can increase circulation time and prevent immune clearance.
So it's a camouflage strategy. And what about using brain tumor cell membranes? Is that what homotypic targeting is about?
Exactly. It's like using the enemy's uniform to infiltrate their base. Brain tumor cell membranes can help nanoparticles target the tumor site more effectively because of the shared membrane proteins.
Wow, that's pretty ingenious. But with all these different approaches, how do you even begin to choose the best strategy for a particular drug or disease?
It's a complex decision involving factors with the drug's properties, the target area in the brain, and the specific disease being treated. There's no magic bullet, unfortunately. It requires careful consideration and often a combination of approaches.
So we've been discussing some really fascinating strategies for drug delivery across the blood-brain barrier, haven't we?
It's like a complex puzzle, figuring out how to get these therapies where they need to go.
It is, and the stakes are so high, right? We're talking about treating debilitating neurological disorders, so precision and safety are paramount.
Absolutely. We talked about some ingenious approaches like camouflaging nanoparticles with cell membranes and even using the enemy's uniform, so to speak, with homotypic targeting.
Yeah, it's remarkable. But, you know, one thing that keeps coming up is this gap between promising research and clinical application. There's still a long way to go before these cutting-edge strategies become widely available treatments.
Right. And the article highlights some key challenges like the need for better in vitro and in vivo models. The current cell monolayer model, while useful, doesn't fully capture the complexity of the BBB, does it?
No, not at all. A three-dimensional model that incorporates blood flow and drug transport would be much more realistic, wouldn't it? I'm curious about these advances in 3D printing technology they mentioned. That could be a game changer.
It could be. And then there's the issue of targeted delivery with greater spatial and temporal precision. Getting the drugs to the right brain region at the right time is crucial, especially for conditions like epilepsy, yeah?
Precisely. Current targeting methods like ligand functionalization are limited by receptor expression, and stimuli-triggered BBB disruption lacks the necessary resolution. We need more refined tools.
We do, and of course safety is always a major concern. Before any of these therapies can reach patients, we need thorough toxicological studies and a deeper understanding of the long-term effects of nanomaterials in the brain.
Definitely. Even if a material shows initial biocompatibility, we need to understand its metabolic fate and potential for neurotoxicity or inflammatory damage down the line. That's essential.
It is. And the paper also mentions the importance of understanding the complex interactions between drug delivery systems, carbo-drug molecules, and cells. Computational modeling and machine learning could play a significant role here, couldn't they?
Absolutely. A deeper understanding of these interactions could inform the design of more effective and safer drug delivery systems. It's like having a roadmap to guide the development process.
Exactly. And finally, there's the issue of scalability and reproducibility. For these therapies to be practical, we need efficient and reliable manufacturing processes. That's a hurdle that often gets overlooked.
It does, and it's a critical one. We can have the most brilliant drug delivery system in the world, but if we can't produce it consistently at scale, it won't reach the patients who need it. It's all interconnected.
So we've covered a lot of ground here about the blood-brain barrier and drug delivery. It's like a fortress, but a fortress we need to get through, right?
Yeah, it's a real challenge. It protects the brain, but also blocks so many potential treatments. This whole discussion about its structure and function, the tight junctions, the astrocytes, parasites, it's fascinating, but also daunting.
It is. And the different transport mechanisms, the efflux pumps like P-glycoprotein, it's like trying to swing upstream. No wonder so many promising therapies fail.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about some clever strategies like using ligands to sneak drugs across or even disrupting the barrier temporarily with focused ultrasound. But there are so many limitations. It's not a simple fix.
No, it isn't. And then there's the issue of targeting specific areas within the brain. It's not enough to just get a drug across the barrier. It needs to reach the right cells, the right receptors.
Right. The precision required is incredible. And we can't forget about safety. Some of these approaches, like using nanoparticles, raise concerns about long-term effects.
Definitely. We need to be sure we're not creating new problems while trying to solve existing ones. I'm particularly intrigued by these new multimodal nanomedicines, though. Combining imaging and therapy in one package seems like a real game changer.
Yeah, the potential is huge. Imagine being able to visualize a tumor in real time and deliver a targeted therapy simultaneously. It could revolutionize how we treat brain cancers and other neurological disorders.
It could, but we need to be realistic too. There's still a lot of research to be done. Developing these complex nanosystems, ensuring their safety and efficacy, and scaling up production.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long road ahead.
It is. But the progress being made is encouraging. And with continued research and collaboration, I'm hopeful that we'll see some real breakthroughs in the near future.
Me too. It's a complex puzzle, this blood-brain barrier, but scientists are chipping away at it piece by piece. And that gives me hope. Thanks for this enlightening conversation.
It's been a real pleasure.
The pleasure was all mine. It's always inspiring to discuss these groundbreaking advances with someone as knowledgeable and passionate as yourself. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on Chemistry of the Mind. We hope you found this episode as fascinating as we did. Until next time, stay curious.